This is Those Who Show Up Decide with Paul, Master Sergeant Chez Sanchez, creating storms of thought wherever he goes, flooding his environment with provoking personality and persuasion. He doesn't want you to think like him. He just wants you to think. He knows that only those who show up decide. And now for your host, Master Sergeant Chez.
Good morning, sports fans. How are we on this fine July 2nd, a beautiful Saturday morning here in Alamogordo, New Mexico, otherwise known as the Big Basin. Thank you very much to my good friend Jason Kurtman. He just did about an hour and a half with Biscuits and Gravy, him and James Nelson. I wasn't able to join them this morning, and in fact, I'm actually recording this very late on Friday night because I'm actually at a parade right now. While we're broadcasting, the city of Alamogordo is having their 4th of July parade, and my big truck, if you haven't seen it, go to my Facebook page, Those Who Show Up Decide, later this afternoon, and I'll post a couple of pictures of my truck in action. I've got a big F-350 with a white cab shell on the back that I've actually mounted the type of flag holders that you would put on the side of your house to hold a full-size 3x5 flag on it. Well, I've mounted 8 of them on the back of my truck. And what I do is when we have parades and stuff, I have metal flag poles that I've attached various flags to, American flags, New Mexico flags, service flags, POW flags, all that kind of stuff. Put about 8 of them up there and do the whole patriotic thing. And I've got the honor this morning, pulling the trailer for the Honor Flight Veterans. If you don't know what Honor Flight is, that is something you should definitely take a look at. Google it out there, and you'll find the pages for Honor Flight. And what basically happens is it's a program where here in Otero County, a couple of good friends of mine, Dale Lindley and Rocky Galassini, and many others, they're not the only ones, they get together with World War II, Korean War veterans, fairly old gentlemen, and they basically load them onto planes and fly them, I think it's every 3 months, I want to say once a quarter they do it, but they fly them out to Washington, D.C., and take them for a tour of the Capitol, all the different national monuments, war monuments, etc., in Washington, D.C. These are the things these guys maybe had never seen. Some of the memorials are the ones that, you know, are depicting their brethren in action. You may remember a couple of years ago, the government shut down and they blocked a whole bunch of monuments off because of the budget shutdown and impasse that we were having that year. And you probably read about some veterans that just weren't having it, and they basically moved the blockades, the fences, temporary fences they put up, and kind of invaded the monument and went and saw what they wanted to see anyway. Well, those were these Honor Flight guys, not necessarily from New Mexico. I think some were from New Mexico. Can't quote that exactly, but these are not exactly, these guys fought at Iwo Jima. These guys landed at Normandy. You're not going to put a little fence up and say, oh, the government shut down and we have a budget impasse and you can't go look at the monument on the only time in your life that you're likely to make it out here before you die. Yeah, that line doesn't exactly work with those guys. Even at 80 years old, they kicked down the fences and they were like, get out of our way or shoot us. So that was a pretty impressive display they put on a couple of years ago. But honestly, these are some really wonderful guys. If I had the time, I would do that, but as you know, I participate in so many different things that I can't keep up with what I do. But I'm very honored to know Rocky and Dale and other friends of mine that go out there. And one of the cool things is that each Honor Flight veteran gets his or her own escort, and depending on their medical needs, if they're in a wheelchair and there's a lot of medical needs and others that need to be assisted with these men and women, they might even have two escorts per veteran to get them on the plane, get them situated, fly them out there, help them with their wheelchairs, their bags, the whole nine yards. And it's absolutely no cost to the veteran themselves. So if you're interested in either participating or even donating to that cause, it is a wonderful, worthy, worthwhile, feel good. No, you're not going to save the world with a donation to Honor Flight, but you are going to honor the men and women that gave us the freedoms that we have today. So, speaking of our freedoms, this is the continuation, I guess, of Biscuits and Gravy, because Jason told me, again, I'm recording this Friday night, he told me this evening that tomorrow morning him and James, or now for you this morning, that they're doing an Independence Day special. So they supposedly went for about an hour and a half, and I had nothing to do with that. I was not part of that hour and a half. I was out watching my truck while that was going on. But let me continue that, and I'm going to try to provide as much of a star-spangled banner and patriotic those who show up decide this morning. Let me get some of the garbage and junk out of the way real quick, and then we're going to get on to some of the good stuff that I'm hoping will inspire you on this Independence Day weekend. So when it comes to the garbage, we're going to start with let's do the international news, which I'm just going to touch on and acknowledge the fact that my favorite terrorist group, ISIS, ISIS, managed to blow up the Istanbul airport. Looks like the numbers in this article show 44 killed and wounded more than 200 others at Turkey's, at a Turk airport. These people have no value for human life whatsoever. This today, for me, Friday, you guys yesterday, ISIS also managed to attack in Bangladesh, and they took a restaurant, an upscale restaurant in Bangladesh's capital diplomatic zone early Saturday, hoping to free, and they were hostages, dozens of hostages, held by Islamic militants following an hours-long standoff. And the commandos, I guess, invaded, and we're still getting reports out of there. I think I saw something that said six militants were killed, but that will be an ongoing investigation. Of course, I think it was 2 weeks ago, 2.5 weeks ago, is when the Orlando attack happened. There was also, where did I put that? I'm not going to search for it because these guys just make me nuts. This I don't think was connected to ISIS. Allegedly, a Palestinian man in the West Bank, this is in Israel, attacked and killed a 13-year-old Jewish girl who happened to be a dual citizen with America. And she was just sleeping in her bedroom and attacked her and killed her. There was blood everywhere. Some of the pictures were truly horrific. And some of the guards in the watch, the neighborhood watch from that area, which in Israel, when you're a neighborhood watch, you walk around with M16s and other similar weapons, fully automatic. It's not, you know, neighborhood watch where you're walking around with a radio like we do here in America. And apparently they shot and killed the Palestinian. As always, all I can say is that any religion, and the Christian religion absolutely did it during the Crusades. You can go to virtually any religion, and at some point, somebody in that religion took the word of God, of that God, to an extreme length and murdered and killed to force people into their way of thinking. I'm a Christian personally. I very much believe in my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. However, I have no problem, absolutely no problem, with any other religion. Unless, whether it's your religion, your ideology, or whatever other isms that apply to your belief system and lifestyle choices and what color clothing you wear or whatever else, if part of your belief system requires, and here's the key, if you are told in your belief system, as we are in the Christian religion, to evangelicize and to spread the word and to tell people about Jesus Christ, if somebody asks me if I do see an opportunity to politely open the conversation, I am not the type, and I'm not saying it's bad, but I'm not the type that goes door to door and that type of thing. However, there have been many occasions where conversation just leads you into discussing the Lord, and I do not shy away from that, and I take every opportunity to share my testimony. But that doesn't mean I'm going to lock you up and chain you and beat you until you believe in the way I believe. If you choose to believe otherwise, then that would be your deal. Not your problem, your deal, your choice. God gives us free will. And boy, did last week on the Biscuits and Gravy Show, did James and I go toe-to-toe for an hour about free will and time and God. You should check out the archive of last week's show, last week's Biscuit and Gravy Show. Go to thebigbasin.com, go to Biscuits and Gravy tab, go down to archives and look for last week's show. It was deep. Me, James, and Jason went about God and time. But back to this conversation, you choose not to believe in Christ, well, then that is your free will that God gives you. That's what my religion says. If you believe in the Quran, if you believe in Buddha, if you believe in whatever, it matters not to me. But when your belief system requires that you force me to convert to yours, and that if I don't convert, you have to kill me, we're going to have an issue. As I've said many, many times, there's no negotiating that. You say you have to kill me if I don't believe what you believe. You don't believe that, you just don't want to talk to me. I can deal with the silent treatment, but when you're going to blow up people, innocent people, guess what? That gives me and what I would hope is my country and my leaders in my country a very simple choice. Either we die or you die. Simple as that. Okay. If that is your, it's not that I want you to die, but if you're saying that, you know, I have to die or you're going to have a problem with me, well, I think I got a pretty big problem with you, and nothing short of, I don't know, a nuclear event will, in your backyard will solve that problem. Now, back to the 13-year-old girl. I did post that article on my Facebook page, Those Who Show Up Decide. And because I'm talking about God and all that stuff, I'm going to read you the two quick paragraphs that I wrote for that. It says, I don't care what religion you are. I don't care what color you are. I don't care about your sexual preference. If you kill an innocent, it's as if you killed 1,000 innocents, and double that if you kill an innocent child. You will burn in the lake of fire. Your soul will be torn apart into 1,000 bits, put back together and torn apart again and again. If an Israeli kills a Palestinian, it will be so. If a Christian kills a Muslim, it will be so. If anyone kills any innocent, it will be so. May God curse those who commit this type of murder. That was my commentary on the Jewish girl, 13, stabbed to death in West Bank bedroom on Fox News. So horrendous events across the world. And one other comment. ISIS attacked, whether it's through a lone wolf or direct intervention, in Orlando. We had the bombing at the Istanbul and Turkey airport. Friday, today for me, tomorrow for you, is when ISIS attacked in Bangladesh. They are worldwide, whether it is sympathizers that were already in those countries, grew up, and decided to join ISIS, or whether it was part of the refugees that came out of Syria and these people came to these other countries, ISIS is worldwide. In the past week, the U.S. Did a drone strike on some ISIS commandos fleeing, I believe it was Fallujah, and apparently they killed 250 ISIS members in that convoy. Well, I think that's a wonderful thing personally, because again, those ISIS commandos made the choice. Their decision is, we're going to be part of this organization that says everybody does it our way, or we kill everything. Well, they got killed. That is a good thing in my mind. I don't like to see anyone killed, and God forgive me for that, but if you're a barbarian, then again, you leave us no choice. The point that I'm making here, folks, and I've taken 15 minutes of my show wasted on these people, but the point I'm making is simple. They are everywhere, and even if we wipe them off the face of Syria, Iraq, and Afghanistan, and completely obliterate them there, that does not change the thousands that spread worldwide during this refugee crisis. And it will be years, if not decades or more, until they are obliterated from the face of the earth, or somebody finally convinces them that there are better things to do than just randomly kill 13-year-old girls. So that is my hateful rant for the day. Let's move on to some. Two stupid things. Some of you that are as old as I remember, before there was Facebook and internet and social media, there was email that we all used to say and send chain emails around to all our friends and everything like that. And there was a thing that we used to see called the Darwin Awards. And the Darwin Awards was a deal where somebody would do something epically stupid and it would get posted, and they would usually get themselves killed or really seriously hurt. And of course, we feel sorry for the person that did it, but in the Darwinian point of view of the world, this is just weeding out those that probably don't really belong around the world. So we've got two people that qualify for this on Independence Day weekend. One, it says, and this is all off Fox News, it says, death by selfie. The selfie fad, absolutely. By the way, I don't know if anybody ever thought of this. I've seen it on Facebook. Did it ever occur to you that the NSA and the U.S. government created that selfie fad so they could get multiple pictures of all of us for their databases? I'm just saying. Okay, off with the tinfoil hat. Back to Fox News. Death by selfie. Man falls off of a cliff at Machu Picchu while posing for a photo. This is one of the most beautiful places in the world. I've never been there. Friends of mine have. Article says, a German tourist fell off a cliff and died Wednesday while posing for a photo in Machu Picchu, the Inca citadel in southern Peru. Gentleman is 51 years old, had ventured into here's your first hint, people, restricted area of the tourist spot in Andes. And despite signs warning people to stay away from the cliff's edge, he asked a fellow tourist to take his photo. He then lost his balance and fell 130 feet to his death. So that's just, it's, you know, I got nothing else. They do mention also this week, and also in Peru, a South Korean tourist fell to his death while taking a selfie in the Amazon rainforest. He fell 1,600 feet off the Gataka waterfall. Last year, Japanese tourist falling downstairs taking a selfie at the Taj Mahal. In March, oh, here's another big Darwin, probably finalist. A Washington man fatally shot himself in the face while taking a selfie with what he believed was an unloaded gun. It's either an hour or it's nothing. So I'm just not going to even... Oh, these people, they kill me. So that's that. Now let's do a Independence Day, 4th of July fireworks Darwin Award real quick. And this one is from Leesburg, Florida. Just came up today. Authorities say a Central Florida man blew his left hand off with a firework during an early 4th of July celebration. The Orlando Sentinel reports it happened Thursday night at a Leesburg home. The firework was attached to a wooden stake designed, that would be a key word, designed to be planted in the ground, and had a foil covered ball inside the firework that explodes after launch. Witnesses told police that so-and-so lit the fuse, but the spark went out. That would be your hint to wait a couple of days and soak it and throw it out. But he then picked up the foil-covered ball in his left hand. Problem number one. Lit the shortened fuse. Problem number two. and attempted to throw it. Fail. An incident report says the firework exploded early, tearing off most of the man's hand. He was airlifted to an Ocala hospital, and his updated condition wasn't available on Friday. No criminal charges were immediately filed. That's not something I would necessarily advocate, filing criminal charges. I don't believe there is a law against being stupid. There should be, but, you know, it's generally things like the laws of gravity, physics, explosive properties, things. Those are the kind of laws that tend to get you. The criminal ones just add insult to injury. So that takes care of the 4th of July weekend. And of course, you know, while I'm making fun of this guy, do remember this, folks. It is 4th of July. Please go have a good time. If your city and or county areas permit you, here in the Big Basin, there's major restrictions. We have in Alamogordo, it's a lot looser out in the county, but we have Lincoln Forest, National Forest, right up the road from us. And that's a place where if you look at a match, you can light a forest fire up there. Obviously in California, in Colorado, Wyoming, these are places that are just begging for fireworks to light off massive blazes. I simply ask you to, number one, obey the laws of your area. Number two, obey the laws of just basic safety when you're lighting these things off and messing with them. And obviously, look around you. Make sure you're not lighting them where they're going to shoot into trees and dry brush and stuff like that. It's you know, you would say it's common sense, but the number one thing that I think is uncommon is common sense. All right, enough of that drama. What I'm going to do now is I'm going to drop in this week's Our Flag, which this week I have a special guest, very special to me, guest that actually did the Our Flag for me. So I'm going to play the Our Flag, and then when we're done, I'll explain a little bit about who my special guest this week is.
Which way is the flag's right? That almost sounds like asking which way is up. But as we've said before, figuring out which way to face a flag display and properly determine the flag's right is not as easy as it sounds. I'm Melody Tapp Sanchez, daughter of Mass Sergeant Chess, and this is Our Flag. As stated in a previous edition of Our Flag, the American flag must always be to its own right. But to determine the right and left of a flag display when you have two or more flagpoles is not always simple. To begin, we must assume for this discussion that all of the poles are the same height and in a side-by-side row with each other. Yes, there are displays that have the center pole higher or the poles in descending heights or even poles in a line, but we'll deal with those in another installment. So again, we've got two or more poles in a row, all the same height. Additionally, we'll be flying all of the flags at the same height, which is permitted in USD Title 4 and 36. To determine the right and left of the display, you must first determine the front and back of the flagpoles. Most often, the poles are placed in front of a building, say a bank or a courthouse. In that case, it's simple. Stand between the building and the poles, with your back to the building, facing the poles. Your right is the flag's right. You see, those flagpoles are representing the building that they are in front of and are showing a patriotic display from the building to the street. Then you can place the American flag on the pole on your right, and then the state, city, POWMIA flag, and or business flag to the left, in that order. All of the other flags may fly at the same height as the American flag, as long as no flag flies higher than the American flag. Sorry, Texas, but the quote, rule, unquote, that says the Texas state flag is the only state flag that can fly at the same height as the American flag is a myth. A quick review of USC Title 4 and 36 will show that all flags from the flags of friendly nations all the way down to business flags may fly at the same height as Old Glory. Remember, always check your references and not your heart. Now, there are two exceptions to that rule, where a certain type of flag can, on certain occasions, fly higher than the American flag. There's even an exception to the American flag flying to its own right. So as a little test for those of you who listen to this show and are as passionate about our flag as we are, we challenge you to post on my dad's Facebook page the exceptions to these rules. Here's the hint. Look in USC Title 4 and think about how the exception might be invoked at a time of sorrow in one case, think about water in another, and finally international affairs in the last. We'll provide the answers in the next week's show. As always, if any listeners have questions or comments about the content in this series, we welcome you to post on DAS Facebook page, Those Who Show Up Decide. The script from these spots and any references will be posted in the notes sections. May God bless you, and of course, may God bless America. This week's Our Flag has been brought to you by the Otero County Conservatives. Come meet with us every third Thursday of the month at 6 p.m. in the New Heart Cowboy Church in Alamogordo, New Mexico, on the corner of White Sands Boulevard and Fairgrounds Road. We welcome all who are interested in taking our country back to the constitutional basis from whence we came. Come early and meet everybody while grabbing a bite to eat at the Hitchin Post right next door. Pastor Coy Griffin makes an awesome barbecue. That's the Otero County Conservatives, meeting every third Thursday at 6 p.m. See you there. This is Melody Tapp Sanchez, signing off from thebigbasin.com. May God bless you and may God bless America.
And of course, I have no paternal pride here whatsoever, but yes, that was my beautiful 18-year-old daughter, Melody Tapps Sanchez. You know, around the groups that I hang out, I spent a lot of time with the Patriot Guard and different biker groups, and of course in the military. And as a result, you tend to pick up nicknames. I picked up the Chez when I was very young in the military. There's a funny story to go with it, but somebody decided to lop off San off of Sanchez, and just that was my nickname, Chez. It's a long story. Anyway, Melody has also been hanging around my friends and everything for many, many years. And back when she was 10, the summer when she was 10, she decided, what happened was, like, she was looking, she was playing the trumpet in middle school band, and she was looking for some sheet music online. I think she told me it was the Pink Panther music she was looking for. And somehow she came across, for 10 cents, she could buy the sheet music for the music Tapps. And so she got it and she started practicing it. Excuse me. Now, obviously, I, her father, am military. Her mother was also in the military. Her grandfather on her mom's side and grandma. I'm not sure how far back that goes, but at least two or three more generations on her mom's side and one higher generation on my side all served in the United States military one time or another. So Mel just decided, she's playing trumpet, she needs to learn how to play taps. And she started doing it, and then about six, 8 months later, she had it down beautifully, and she started doing it at various events, December 7th, Pearl Harbor Day events and other events, where she would play taps, and she was doing a beautiful job. But playing taps live, if you're a trumpet player, unless you're a master at it with a degree, they will all tell you it is a very, very difficult, especially when you hit that high note, how to bring it up and then rapidly back down. It's a very difficult piece to play. And so, you know, Melody would have little glitches here and there, here and there. Then she started getting asked to play it at military funerals, which from my Honor Guard time, I've done hundreds. And with my Patriot Guard time also, I've done probably over 100. I never kept track. But Melody played, I think it was the second funeral that she played at, and it was perfect. Not a note missing, not a breath out of place. It was perfect. And the way you tend to pick up nicknames in these kind of groups, military and bikers and stuff like that, is you had to have done something. Well, Mel had jokingly been called The Mel for many, many years based on The Chez, which was my nickname. Well, when she played that tune, I said, okay, youngin, you managed to earn yourself a new nickname. So think about what you want it to be. Do you want it to be Taps? Do you want it to be The Bugler? What would you like? We ended up putting it to a vote, and people had different views on it. A lot of people wanted to call her The Bugler, but also it was about equal with going to Taps. The concern about her nickname being Taps was that it would take away from the music, whereas instead we decided that it honored that music and her ability to play it. And so she became Melody Tapps Sanchez, And she plays at military funerals occasionally. Her grandfather actually bought a U.S. Army regulation bugle for her to play. So she didn't even play her trumpet anymore there. She actually plays bugles. And so hopefully that's a bit of the heartwarming and restored faith in humanity for you. Obviously, those pinheads in ISIS would be my lost faith in humanity. But she just plays it beautifully, and maybe in a future show, I will ask her to actually play a rendition for you of her taps, and you'll understand why I am so, so proud, so very proud of my daughter. And obviously, if you're growing up in a house with an individual like myself, you tend to know the flag code and things like taps and stuff like that by heart. It's kind of inevitable. You can't exactly escape it with me. Either way, I am very, very proud of her. So we did pay one bill in talking about the Otero County Conservatives. Let me pay another bill real quick with my good friends Amy and John Paul out at 54 Towing. Their slogan, "We don't want an arm and a leg. We just want your toes." While this show's playing, I mentioned that I was actually in a parade at the same time getting ready to tow the Honor Flight veterans. Amy and John Paul loaned us their trailer, one of their trailers, to do that event. So the veterans are riding on a 54 Towing trailer. They are some of the most patriotic, Christian, wonderful, hardworking beyond reason. They never stop. Couples that I know, they have a fabulous business. And if you are in the Big Basin and you need one of their services, they also just recently purchased North 54 Salvage, salvage yard out there. So if you need the pick apart type deal, they've got that going as well. If it comes to automobiles, they've got it, and they're good friends, and they're well worth visiting with and seeing if they can take care of your needs. So that's 54 Towing. Their phone number, you can reach Amy and John Paul at 575-585-9097. 575-585-9097. Tell them Mass Sergeant Chez sent you. All right, well, we just hit the halfway mark in this, and I will do a quick mention of city politics, Alamogordo city politics, to you. And for those of you that watch my Those Who Show Facebook page, there has been a huge controversy it started about 6 years ago, but it's been ridiculous for about 6-8 months now. 2 years ago, we voted to get a family fun center, a bowling alley, arcades, a sports bar here in Alamogordo to increase the activities to do in our town and encourage the military to stay, encourage more people to move in, things of that nature. This has been a huge fiasco. I could do 6 shows in a row just on how bad a fiasco it is. So instead of doing all that and complaining about how bad it is, I will just simply tell you guys that if you haven't seen it on my page and you do are concerned about the Family Fun Center here in Otero County in Alamogordo, they have finally, oh thank you Lord, selected the contractor that will build the Family Fun Center. So we've taken the next huge step. It's going to be White Sands Construction that's going to build it. The price tag is unofficially at $5.9 million is what we're going to pay for it. That's going to be variable. The next stage is to go into negotiations between the city and White Sands Construction to make sure the plans are exactly what we want and to either improve or take away from things in there to come to the final build and the final price. And with any luck whatsoever, we'll be breaking ground about December timeframe. Now, there's a huge amount more controversy about it. If you're interested, read through my Facebook page. You'll see most of the stuff there. If you have any questions that I'm not covering right now, please ask me in that situation as well. Just message me on Those Who Show Up Decide. Now, in the course of me going through the news articles and such for this Independence Day, 4th of July weekend, I happen to come across on Nadia and Eddie's favorite number one news channel website, Fox News. Yeah. And this was actually a post by a lady named Katie McFarlane. And it was published today, July 1st. Now, many of you might know Katie McFarlane. Her name is Kathleen Troya McFarlane. She's a Fox News national security analyst and host of FoxNews.com's DEFCON 3. She served in national security posts in the Nixon, Ford, and Reagan administrations. And she wrote an article that I just happened to catch my eye. I'm going to read it to you, and then I'm actually going to do what she said. And that's the way I want my Independence Day weekend show to go. So first, the words of Katie McFarlane. In the swirl of the current presidential election, one thing every pundit and politician talks about is how angry the American people are with Washington and the political establishment of both parties. We're in a throw-all-the-bums-out mood. But it's really nothing new. We go through these populist anti-establishment cycles every 40 years or so. It's written to our national DNA. In fact, we were founded in a great wave of anti-establishmentarianism. That's a $10 word right there. You think we were in a rebellious mood? You think we're in a rebellious mood today? It's nothing compared to how mad we were in 1776. Ever read the Declaration of Independence? Reading it in fifth grade history class is good, but that's not what I mean. Do yourself a favor this weekend. Read it, word for word. It will make today's political battles seem tame by comparison. My family, and of course I'm reading Katie McFarlane's article, my family reads the Declaration every 4th of July with each of my children and guests assigned to read different paragraphs aloud. Our tradition began years ago when we were invited to the outgoing Supreme Allied Commander, General George Jowlin, one of my oldest friends and our daughter's godfather, to give the 4th of July sermon at our church. Instead of preaching, he gave us a history lesson. He set the stage by describing the American colonies in the 1770s. Then he read the entire Declaration of Independence, starting with the stirring preamble. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. At the time, I was struck by how angry the founders were, how they reflected the frustration of their fellow colonists. Hence began the McFarlane family tradition of taking an hour out of the weekend to read the Declaration at home. For years, my children groaned at the reading, thinking how unfair it was they were stuck doing homework while their friends were at picnics or the beach. But then my kids grew up. A few years ago, my older daughter, a Naval Academy graduate, invited some military friends for the 4th of July weekend. My other daughter invited some friends who had studied with her at the University of St. Andrews in Scotland. We all sat around the table after dinner, and each person read a paragraph or two from the Declaration. It started out as a forced exercise. Their friends figured that humoring the parents was the cost of a weekend in the Hamptons. But as we went around the table taking turns reading, their interest and outrage started to build. They stood up. They raised their voices. They pounded their fists on the table. We could feel how angry the colonists were with the King of Britain as those around the table practically shouted out the Declaration's long list of grievances. And guess what? Our founding fathers' grievances against the King were the same grievances we have against Washington today. Point. He erected a multitude of new offices and sent hither swarms of officers to harass our people. Point. He suspended our laws. Point. He refused to pass other laws for the accommodation of large districts of people. Point. He obstructed the administration of justice. Point. He imposed taxes on us without our consent. All you have to do is substitute Washington for King. And there you have it, today's rebellion against the political elite. Then an Army Ranger, just back from Afghanistan, read the last line. We mutually pledge to each other our lives, our fortunes, and our sacred honor. We all looked at each other with a silent acknowledgement. Many of our guests had fought in Iraq and Afghanistan or had walked patrol on Navy ships in the Pacific. There were the men and women willing to put their lives on the line to guarantee us the same freedoms our forebears fought for. Suddenly, the Declaration of Independence was as relevant as it had been nearly 2.5 centuries ago. The next morning, our guests donned red, white, and blue, strapped a 6x8 American flag to a pole, and jogged through the streets of Southampton Village. They called it the Freedom Run. Passersby waved, drivers honked their horns, and passengers leaned out of car windows to cheer. Anger with the ruling elites is nothing new, and neither is rebellion. Our founding fathers claimed we had not only the right, but the responsibility to remove a king who no longer listened to his people. After winning our independence, those founding fathers went on to write a constitution that gives us the right to elect representatives to lead us, and to remove them if we choose. They work for us, not the other way around. So if you occasionally shake your head with disgust this summer and autumn over the vitriol of the presidential campaign, remember your right to a revolution. People fought and bled and died so you could have it. And come November, show up at the polls to exercise it. Ladies and gentlemen, that was K.T. McFarland's article. And it gave me a chill when I read it the first time. And when I just read it now, it gave me another chill. So what I'm going to use the last part of my show to do, and I believe I've got enough room to sneak it in here, is I am going to read the Declaration of Independence to you. I hope you're not too bored, but you know something, 20 minutes or less of the founding document of our country on Independence Day, I don't think is a waste of time, and I think it is something we should all do. The Declaration of Independence, the unanimous declaration of 13 United States of America. When in the course of human events it becomes necessary for one people to dissolve the political bands which have connected them with another, and to assume among the powers of the earth the separate and equal station to which the laws of nature and of nature's God entitle them, a decent respect to the opinions of mankind requires that they should declare the causes which impel them to the separation. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, that to secure these rights. Governments are instituted among men, deriving their just powers from the consent of the governed. That whenever any form of government becomes destructive of these ends, it is the right of the people to alter or to abolish it, and to institute new government, laying its foundation on such principles and organizing its powers in such form as to them shall seem most likely to affect their safety and happiness. Prudence, indeed, will dictate that governments long established should not be changed for light and transient causes, and accordingly all experience has shown that mankind are more disposed to suffer while evils are sufferable than to right themselves by abolishing the forms to which they are accustomed. But when a long train of abuses and usurpations, pursuing invariably the same object, invices a design to reduce them under absolute despotism, it is their right, it is their duty to throw off such government and to provide new guards for their future security. Such has been the patient sufferance of these colonies, and such is now the necessity which constrains them to alter their former systems of government. The history of the present King of Great Britain is a history of repeated injuries and usurpations, all having in direct object the establishment of an absolute tyranny over these states. To prove this, let facts be submitted to a candid world. He has refused He has refused his assent to laws, the most wholesome and necessary for the public good. He has forbidden his governors to pass laws of immediate and pressing importance unless suspended in their operation till his assent should be obtained, and when so suspended, he has utterly neglected to attend to them. He has refused to pass other laws for the accommodation of large districts of people unless those people would relinquish the right of representation in the legislature, a right inestimable to them and formidable to tyrants only. He has called together legislative bodies at places unusual, uncomfortable, and distant from the depository of their public records for the sole purpose of fatiguing them into compliance with his measures. He has dissolved representative houses repeatedly for opposing with manly firmness his invasions on the rights of the people. He has refused for a long time after such disillusions to cause others to be elected, whereby the legislative powers, incapable of annihilation, I said that wrong, have returned to the people at large for their exercise, the state remaining in the meantime exposed to all of the dangers of invasion from without and convulsions within. He has endeavored to prevent the population of these states for that purpose, obstructing the laws for naturalization of foreigners, refusing to pass others to encourage their migrations hither, and raising the conditions of the new appropriations of lands. He has obstructed the administration of justice by refusing his assent to laws for establishing judiciary powers. He has made judges dependent on his will alone for the tenure of their offices and the amount and payment of their salaries. He has erected a multitude of new offices and sent hither swarms of officers to harass our people and eat out their substance. He has kept among us, in times of peace, standing armies without the consent of our legislators. He has affected to render the military independent of and superior to the civil power. He has combined with others to subject us to a jurisdiction foreign to our Constitution and unacknowledged by our laws, giving his assent to their acts of pretended legislation, for quartering large bodies of armed troops among us, for protecting them by a mock trial from punishment for any murders which they should commit on the inhabitants of these states, for cutting off our trade with all parts of the world, for imposing taxes on us without our consent, for depriving us in many cases of the benefits of trial by jury, for transporting us beyond seas to be tried for pretended offenses, for abolishing the free system of English laws in a neighboring province, establishing therein an arbitrary government and enlarging its boundaries so as to render it at once an example and fit instrument for those introducing the same absolute rule into these colonies, for taking away our charters, abolishing our most valuable laws, and altering fundamentally the forms of our governments, for suspending our own legislatures and declaring themselves invested with power to legislate for us in all cases whatsoever. He has advocated government here by declaring us out of his protection and waging war against us. He has plundered our seas, ravaged our coasts, burnt our towns, and destroyed the lives of our people. He is at this time transporting large armies of foreign mercenaries to complete the works of death, desolation, and tyranny already begun with the circumstances of cruelty and perfidy scarcely paralleled in the most barbarous ages and totally unworthy the head of a civilized nation. He has constrained our fellow citizens taken captive on the high seas to bear arms against their country, to become the executioners of their friends and brethren, or to fall themselves by their hands. He has excited domestic insurrections amongst us, and has endeavored to bring on the inhabitants of our frontiers, the merciless Indian savages, who known rule of warfare is an undistinguished destruction of all ages, sexes, and conditions. In every stage of these oppressions, we have petitioned for redress in the most humble terms. Our repeated petitions have been answered only by repeated injury. A prince whose character is thus marked by every act which may define a tyrant is unfit to be the ruler of a free people. Nor have we been wanting in attentions to our our British brethren. We have warned them from time to time of attempts by their legislature to extend an unwarrantable jurisdiction over us. We have reminded them of the circumstances of our immigration and settlement here. We have appealed to their native justice and magnanimity. We have conjured them by the ties of our common kindred to disavow these usurpations, which would inevitably interrupt our connections and correspondence. They too have been deaf to the voice of justice and of consanguinity. We must therefore acquiesce in the necessity which denounces our separation and hold them, as we hold the rest of mankind, enemies in war, in peace friends. We, therefore, the representatives of the United States of America in General Congress, assembled appealing to the Supreme Judge of the world for the rectitude of our intentions, do, in the name and by the authority of the good people of these colonies, solemnly publish and declare that these United Colonies are, and of right, ought to be free and independent states, that they are absolved from all allegiance to the British Crown, and that all political connection between them and the state of Great Britain is and ought to be totally dissolved, and that as free and independent states they have full power to levy war, conclude peace, contract alliances, establish commerce, and to do all other acts and things which independent states may of right do. And for the support of this declaration, with a firm reliance on the protection of divine providence, we mutually pledge to each other our lives, our fortunes, and our sacred honor. Boys and girls, that took me, about 15 minutes, not even, to read it. Actually, about 10 minutes, if I got it right. 10 minutes, and I read one of the most important written by man documents, blessed by the Lord documents, in the history of the world. There are many documents that do matter within our world, and of course, the most important document or written material, which is the Bible, which was 100% the Word of God and inspired by God. But the Declaration of Independence, at the time, the concept of colonies like we were, the 13 original, that was unheard of. It was the most mind-boggling experiment that we could set forth on, that anyone had declared in the history of the world. This Independence Day, I wanted to read that to you. Katie McFarland's article was absolutely inspiring to me, and inspiring to the point that I chose that you didn't have to hear me for the second half hour. I mean, you had to hear my voice, but it wasn't my words. It was Katie McFarland's words, and then the words of our founders, the men that, back in those days, wrote and signed with pride, knowing that their signature, they were signing literally their own death warrant. These men that stood up and said, no more. We are through. It was just such an unbelievable idea then, and for us that are so quick, and if you can't say it in 140 characters and tweet it, then it doesn't matter. Well, the Declaration of Independence is not 140 characters, folks, but it only takes 10-15 minutes to read. And if you mispronounce words the way I did and you have to look them up later so you can make them your own and say them in a sentence, so be it. That's what you may have to do. But it's a short document. It's not some giant tome that you have to read and study and reference. No, you just read it. Just read it and know what these United States were declared to be in 1776, over 200 years ago. Obviously, there are politically incorrect things. They talked about they called it savage Indians. That's obviously not a politically correct term now. The point is the document needs to be addressed, read, and understood within its time. And, you know, if we were to rewrite that document today, obviously there would be many changes to it. Same with the Constitution. There are things in the Constitution where I think they declare slaves to be count as three-fifths of a man. There are many things in both of these documents and many of our other documents that were the sign of the times. You can read the Bible and find things that were in the Old Testament without question that were signs of that time that are not necessarily appropriate to this time. But the intent is there. The beliefs are there. And that is what we should be thinking about this weekend. It'll take you 15 minutes to read it to your kids. They'll moan for 15 minutes, and guess what? They'll get over it. And maybe they will understand a little bit of the proud country that we live here within. All I can do is ask you to consider it. It's just a real quick minute. You spend more time watching Game of Thrones or something. You know, take a moment this weekend to understand the heritage of your country. And, of course, take a look at that flag and look at the red, the white, the blue, the stars. Remember the blood that has been shed, gallons, rivers of that blood that has been shed to keep those stripes red. Remember men and women that served without harm to them. I did 26 years, never had a bullet go by me, thank you, Lord. But I have friends that saw many bullets go by them and even caught a couple. We don't get to go light fireworks this weekend. We don't get to have barbecues, parades, and all the rest of that stuff. Hang out with our family. If I felt like picking up and going to Florida, where my mom's living now, or New York, where my sister, my aunts are, I could do that. I have that choice. That's a blessing that I have being an American. But I get to do that because our country's free. And because of those men that wrote that document over 200 years ago. And that reading of the Declaration of Independence was brought to you by MDC Computers. Devin and Chris, the guys that work down there and run the place, do a fantastic job with all of your computing needs, from fixing your computers, getting viruses out, transferring you from one computer to the next, and making sure all your files move. They have new computers for sale, used computers, you name it, they have it, and tons of advice, even if they can't work on a particular issue. But they are the best, in my humble opinion, here in the Big Basin. You can reach Devin and Chris at 575-437-7600. That's 575-437-7600. Tell them, as always, that Mass Sergeant Chez sent you. And I think we're in the final wrap for Those Who Show Up Decide right here on thebigbasin.com and the Leading Edge Radio Network out of Dallas, Texas. Big shout out to you guys. My Facebook page, Those Who Show Up Decide, just went over 605 likes this week. So please take a minute, go out on Facebook and take a look at it. Remember, you don't actually have to be a member of Facebook. You can Google Those Who Show Up Decide. You'll see the Facebook page. It's going to say join Facebook and you can comment and all that stuff. If you're not a Facebook person, don't do it. But you will be able to read and see what I'm posting out on Those Who Show Up Decide, which range from horrific things like commentary on the craziness that ISIS does through lots of funny political jokes and memes and things of that nature. It's quite a variety on Those Who Show. So please consider going out to my Facebook page, Those Who Show Up Decide, taking a look at it, liking it, and, you know, that'll boost our viewership. You'll be able to see what we post out there, and I steal from pages all across Facebook, and then you'll be able to learn a lot of stuff, hopefully. You'll be able to disagree with me on a lot of stuff. That's my favorite thing. And hopefully we'll maybe learn from each other. Either way, that is this Independence Day, Those Who Show Up Decide. I appreciate you guys listening. I had a ton of fun. You have a great weekend.
We hope you've enjoyed this edition of Those Who Show Up Decide with Alamogordo's very own privately commissioned Jim Henson creation. I'm talking about none other than that towering and talkative Alamogordian activist, Paul Master Sergeant Chez Sanchez. Before we leave, don't forget to send your Chez Bomb cereal box tops, request for autographed portraits, wage garnishments, and restraining orders to thosewhoshow@hotmail.com. This has been Those Who Show Up Decide.